The WPKY Saturday Morning Quarterback Show is on the air on 1580, 103.3 WPKY and WPKYonline.com. Time to take a look back at last night's Caldwell game. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
The Caldwell County Tigers made the trip to Owensboro last night for a Class 2A playoff matchup against Owensboro Catholic. The Aces, though, as good as advertised. Owensboro Catholic ends up winning that one 61-14. Tigers ending the season with a 1-10 mark. Good morning, everyone. We are live at the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback. Tiger coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley with us on the show this morning. And Coach McClung, that Owensboro Catholic, we knew they were good offensively, but I think I was about as impressed with them on the defensive side of the football as I was on the offensive side.
Yeah, I anticipated them to be really good defensively. They play kind of a conservative defensive style. They don't bring a ton of pressure, but they do an excellent job of pursuing the football. And we didn't execute some things we had in that we thought they had some areas of their defense we could hurt them, but we didn't execute those things very well. And when you can't execute your game plan, you play a good defense, it usually sets you up for a long night. That's what we had. You know, we had seems like our first three drives, negative 4 and 5 yards on the first play every time. We get behind the sticks, and then they really can not take chances defensively, and it just put us in a bind, put us in a hole early that we just couldn't overcome.
Yeah, Jeff, when you go against a quarterback like a Brady Atwell, what's kind of the game plan going in against him? What are you trying to do? Because, I mean, you know he's going to complete some passes and make some plays.
Yeah, I think going in, we wanted to try to get a little pressure on him. We put in a couple different coverages. You know, it's something that we don't normally do. A man with a free safety type stuff to try to take away some of those slot receiver throws. And then we wanted to try to get some pressure and bring a little extra guy. And, you know, we got there at times, but for the most part, we didn't get there like we wanted to. And the kid, he's a good quarterback for a reason. He made good throws and they made good catches. And, you know, before you know it, you're behind the eight ball a little bit and they've got two or three scores on you. And now you're swimming upstream.
Yeah, I think he was 16 of 20 passing last night, and we hit him once, and he still delivered a pretty good ball in the back of the end zone that they didn't quite come up with. And I only remember really one, what I would call a mistake. He threw back across the middle once, and Gus Fox had a chance to maybe pick it and ended up knocking it down. But pretty accurate as far as quarterbacks go. I think he was as accurate as anybody we've seen all year.
Yeah, he's as good as advertised. He's a big kid. You know, we saw him at the first of the year last year. And he wasn't nearly as polished or as big as an imposing a kid, but he's grown a lot. And, you know, we saw him on film. I think, you know, I don't keep up with all those rankings, but I think he's, you know, one of the highly ranked quarterbacks I know in the state, but even nationally. And he's got some looks. One of their coaches said he had an offer from Eastern on the table and was anticipating probably some more. So, you know, he's a good quarterback, and he does good things, and you have to play exceptionally well when you're playing somebody of that caliber. And we just didn't play up to snuff last night.
Yeah, Coach McClung, looking for positives. It was nice to get a couple of touchdowns up against them.
Oh, yeah, it's nice to see the kid. Well, it was really nice to see, even though we got down big early. The kids kept playing, you know. You always hate to see when teams get down and they hang their head and they just kind of mail it in. And our kids didn't. You know, we were down. Kids were frustrated, but they just kept playing hard. And we moved the ball. We were able to run the ball a little bit. We were able to complete some passes late. And gave our seniors a chance to go out and play their last plays as a Caldwell County Tiger. So, you know, I always like to see that, you know. It's hard to stay positive when you're down real big, but, you know, we're lucky to be out there. We're lucky to be playing football. We're lucky to be playing in a playoff game. So, you know, you gotta take advantage of those opportunities. You know, no matter what the score is, you're getting to play high school football, and that's a blessing. So I thought the kids took advantage of it, and I was proud of them. I was proud of how they conducted themselves even when we were down.
Well, and – you know, we can all be honest, we knew going up there it was a tall task.
Oh yeah, we knew, you know, their RPI is the highest in the state. You know, they've beaten some really good larger class teams. We knew they were going to be good, but You know, we want to be good. So, you know, if you want to be good, you got to be willing to embrace the challenges, embrace going and playing good people. You know, that's how you build a culture of winning is, you know, you're faced with a gigantic adversity and you step up and you take it on. So that's what we're trying to build here. We're not going to play it like we're afraid. We're not going to run away from people. Even if we're big underdogs, we're going to try to come up with game plans to win the game. And, and sometimes you're just outmatched,
yeah.
You know, and that's what we were last night.
Well, I said all week that they kind of reminded me of some of those Caldwell County teams from a decade ago that had Elijah Sindelar and all those receivers. About the only thing Okath was missing was a Jalen Boyd.
Yeah, they're good. You know, all their receivers are good. They all run good routes. So it seemed like, you know, we tried to play some man coverage against them and tried to bring some pressure. We got some decent pressure. We just couldn't sack the kid. And when you got four good receivers and you're playing man coverage, you know, they'll find one guy. You know, it's hard to keep them all covered. And, you know, they did last night. The Atwell kid did a good job of finding the open receiver. They run great routes. They're very disciplined in what they do. And you know, they're just a good football team.
Well, Jeff, I guess about the only way you can bust up a quarterback like that is just to get a lot of pressure in his face and hit him a few times.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think you got to try to get him off his spot and try to take him out of rhythm. And, you know, the tough thing about that kid is when you get him off his spot and take him out of rhythm, he can hurt you with his legs as well. So, you know, we didn't get the pass rush that I kind of hoped we would get. I kind of thought that maybe we had a little bit of an advantage there, but their front did a good job of keeping us out. I thought our kids attempted to pass rush at times, and, you know, we were able to get a little bit of pressure there. But, you know, I think that's you start there, and then on the back end, you know, you hope you can stay in coverage and be in a position to make plays on balls. And, you know, there's a couple times where we were in position and they just made a play and we weren't able to get to the ball. So those things happen, and well-executed offense, you know, that has a really good thrower and you have solid receiver play is tough. And, you know, we're still, you know, I know we've said it a lot this year, but, you know, we were young in the secondary and a couple guys were starting out of position last night and they hadn't really played there. And that's a tough task against that quality of an opponent.
Well, I mentioned they were missing a Jalen Boyd, but I think most teams are missing a Jalen Boyd.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody wishes they had a Jalen Boyd.
Well, you look at the game last night, and Coach McClung, you guys were missing some players last night going up there. You had some kids on the sideline that had played quite a bit this season.
Yeah, we've had some kids out the past week and a half. Cam Wilson's been playing a lot for us, and he had an injured ankle. You know, Shane Farrow has been out. And, you know, when you're young you don't have a lot of depth. So when you play some young guys, you know, you just got to roll with it and do the best you can. You know, a lot of the game we had Drew Stevens and Dalen at corners, and that, you know, those are two freshman kids. You know, they got beat a couple times, but, you know, they were right there. You know, both of them are playing hard, and, you know, despite, you know, giving up some touchdowns, that's quality experience, you know, to go out there and play in November and play against maybe the number one team in 2A. They'll learn from that, and hopefully that experience will pay off down the road. And when those guys are next year and the years after that, they won't be intimidated by anybody because they know they've gone out and they've gone against one of the best 2A teams in the state. And, you know, Drew he's not a big guy, and they threw a ball to their best receiver. He jumps up in the end zone, and Drew about knocks it out of his hands as the kid catches a touchdown. But, you know, that we got to take advantage of this experience. You know, if there's one thing that you can gain from a season where you go 1-10 is you get a lot of young kids a ton of reps and get them experience for games in the future.
Well, and you talk about not quitting. You guys put together a really good drive there just before halftime and had to hustle up a little bit because the clock was running, but able to get on the board just before halftime.
Yeah, that's part of what, you know, our kids have been like. You know, it's been a tough season, but we haven't stopped competing. We haven't stopped trying to get better. And you know, even Coach Morris told me before the game, he said, you guys are way, you're not a regular 1-9 team. He told me before the game, he goes, you guys have improved a lot. You're making progress. And I appreciated that. I'm glad other people see that, but hopefully that we get to see the results of that next season.
Yeah. I appreciated the way that Owensboro Catholic kind of approached that game. They were kind of a workman quality to them about it. They got the lead, and then they let the younger kids play.
Yeah, they did. You know, and they, you know, that's smart for them to get their younger kids experience. You know, it's just not the same. Varsity reps and varsity experience is, you know, you play JV games to let those kids play, but to be able to get those kids on the field on a Friday night, especially against some other varsity kids, is invaluable as far as experience goes for kids.
Well, and a lot of teams would probably like to have their backup quarterback because he looked pretty good throwing the football too.
Yeah, he did. He came in and did a good job. And, you know, they kind of threw him in a little bit there, and I think, you know, that, well, kid's a junior, so, you know, they probably have to kind of keep him interested as well and give him some opportunities, and he looked like a pretty good athlete too, so.
Well, and mentioned the touchdown pass to Gus Fox. He actually had a couple of TD catches last night, and the first one was about an 8-yard pass, and you had to feel like when you got the ball out to him one-on-one against somebody, he was going to score.
Yeah, and I really feel like that's probably the role that he is best at in our offense. I think we've really kind of – he played receiver a lot last year, and we needed an F going in this year, so we tried to play him at F at the beginning of this year. And he runs hard, but I think what we found out over the last couple of weeks is he's much more comfortable, much more natural at a receiver position. He runs good routes. He's got good hands. He knows where grass is, and I really think he's probably going to be a receiver for us next year, just because I think we need those playmakers out there. You know, he's really aggressive when he goes for the ball. He makes some tough catches on the sidelines, and you know, that's what we need. We need some reliable receivers for our quarterback.
Well, and one of the best throws and catches I think we made all year was the 24-yard touchdown pass to Gus in the back of the end zone.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if he was in.
I looked at my pictures, and I think his foot's in.
Oh, really?
I don't think there was an official anywhere near it to get a good look at it.
That's why I think we got the call, because nobody was over there to say yay or nay.
But I looked at my pictures, and, you know, it was a long way away, but I blew those things up. I think Gus was in.
Well, good. If he was in, then that was a heck of a – I mean, it was a heck of a catch anyways.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a good angle, but I thought, oh, there's no way he's in. And then they just ran down there and just threw up a touchdown. Yeah. And I was like, we'll take it.
Well, we did get a little bit of a gift later in the game over on our sideline when Eli Stevens came up with the fumble.
Yeah.
I think that ball was laying on the sideline before he got there. But no, we'll take it.
About time that we got some of those breaks, Todd, because it doesn't seem like we've gotten any of them all year.
Well, that was a good time to get one. And speaking of breaks, we need to get one on the show here. We're on Saturday Morning Quarterback, live from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street, as always. We'll come back and have more with the coaches right after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Since 1894, serving as your steadfast local banking choice for Fredonia Valley Bank. The world has transformed since then, but their dedication to you, their neighbors, has not wavered. Navigate financial complexity with a bank that's powered by 129 years of excellence. They're committed to investing in their community and the prosperity of their customers. Remember, choose local, live local, dine local, shop local, and bank local. Fredonia Valley Bank, where local people make local decisions. Your genuine community bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Fortner Gas Company has been serving the propane needs of Western Kentucky for 70 years. You'll find offices in Princeton and Cadiz. They're your local and family-owned propane supplier. Browse their website to discover the many services and products available. You can shop in person or online, and they can answer any and all questions in person or on the phone. If they're already your propane supplier, they say thank you. If they're not, they would love to be. Fortner Gas Company, a family tradition of service since 1951.
KFC Princeton, offering their amazing fried chicken and all the fix-its. You can dine in or call your order for pickup inside or use their convenient drive-thru. Your local KFC is located on the Marion Road in Princeton. Whether you enjoy a quick lunch or take dinner home or maybe take something to a friend in need, they're always ready to help. They're also looking for team members at KFC. Ask about becoming a member of their team. KFC on the Marion Road, where they appreciate your support and they are Princeton strong.
Why support local?
Your local businesses are actually hubs of creativity and innovation. You never know, your local store might be run by an entrepreneur who is close to inventing the next big thing. Support them and you're supporting their creativity and innovation.
The Edge Media Group urges you to support local every chance you get.
At Trilogy Performance Sports, they believe in only the highest standards of physical fitness training. Their staff members are actively enriching the lives of their members and creating a community of like-minded people. And getting you in shape is their number one goal. They have everything you need: knowledge, experience, and equipment. They find out what's important to you and design a customized plan that fits your needs. Learn more at TrilogyPerformanceSports.com.
At Tricews, they're ordering it your way. How would you like to have a vehicle built just for you? Little things are important, like rich colors, big screens and displays, almost like watching TV. Exteriors with beautiful style and powerful engines that respond to the lightest touch on the accelerator. It's time to get what you want. Order your new ride and feel the thrill when you drive off the lot. Tricews in Princeton is the one-stop shop for everything your vehicle needs. For more information, visit Tricews.com. That's Tricews.com.
We're your locally owned Benjamin Moore retailer. We're your store for quality with brilliant and durable paints in a variety of sheens and thousands of colors. We're your store for service with one-on-one advice for contractors and homeowners. We're your local experts, and we're here to help with all your painting projects. Benjamin Moore at Joiner Hardware on Main Street in Princeton.
At YourSportsEdge.com, we strive every day to continue to bring you the gold standard in high school sports coverage with more on your teams and your players.
Where did it show up there?
And while they are not gold, those crystal awards we have won for doing what we love to do are pretty cool too.
That's something you see every day.
The Kentucky Broadcaster's Best Digital Product Award winner.
Ball game over.
YourSportsEdge.com.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
We are back with Caldwell County coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley. We're at the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery for Saturday Morning Quarterback. The Tigers following up at Owensboro Catholic last night in the first round of the playoffs to the Owensboro Catholic Aces. So the Tigers are done for this season, but coaches already looking ahead to next year. And what does a team have to do between now and next season to, you know, try to improve on that win total next year?
Well, your offseason strength and conditioning program is always the most important thing your off season. You know, we have some kids that will play other sports, and you know, I want them to go be the best players on their teams and all their other sports. And you know, I'll come watch them and support them. But even if you're playing another sport, you got to maintain your strength and conditioning and make gains between this year and next year. And that's what we're looking for our kids to do. You know, we return almost everybody. We graduate a few seniors that started, but other than that, everybody's back. And we need to spend a lot of time in the weight room, you know. And I think coaching wise, you know, we figure out a lot of things about our identity and what our kids can do. You know, I was out of coaching for 2 years, so it's taken me a season to kind of figure out what positions kids are best in, what we're most capable of doing, and that just adjusting my coaching to the attitude of the team. So, you know, those are the things that I'm looking to do, but we just need to get bigger and stronger and, you know, faster and just typical off-season stuff, and just continue to develop a culture of a constant improvement. You know, that's what we're looking for, constantly improve.
You hate to lose those seniors, and it's always a bit of a sadness when those guys play their final game for you, but when you look ahead to next season, you guys have a lot of people coming back.
You know, we have a lot of people coming back everywhere. You know, we lose Cole Sherrill is all WKC plays, an all WKC player. Maurice Seals is an all WKC player. There's a couple other seniors that start for us But other than that, everybody's back. You know, Caden Riley started at guard for us this year. He's a senior, and Camden Wolford started outside linebacker and offensive tackle. He's a senior. And but other than that, you know, everybody's back. And, you know, I had a lot of linemen. I had a lot of linemen depth this year, so I feel pretty good about being able to find capable replacements. You know, as the season wore on, Keenan Alexander played a bunch. He rotated in with Caden at guard. He's got a ton of varsity experience now, so he'll be back. I may move Daniel Laurence, played guard for us this year. He's a really good lineman. I may move him to give another kid a shot at a guard position. So I feel like we can replace those guys. You know, Cole Sherrill was a really good, he'll be a tough one to replace because he was a really good football player. He's a really tough kid, really good attitude, plays hard all the time. He'll be a real tough one to replace. And Maurice Seals had a really good year for us playing nose guard. Probably our best defensive lineman this year. He won't be easy to replace, but you know, those guys set an example. You know, those last two guys have really set a really, really good example because they kept playing hard, working their butt off, playing through injuries, playing through frustrations, being good leaders. You know, they'll be big shoes to fill, but I feel like we got some other guys back. I feel like our skill positions have had a year to develop. You know, all of our linebackers are sophomores, and you know, our secondary is a bunch of freshmen and sophomores. So I feel like those kids will have a lot more confidence going into next year, and hopefully they get stronger and faster in the off season, and you know, we come out next year looking like a more mature football team.
Yeah, talking about those seniors, I looked out there once in the second half. The score is 55-14. The clock's running. You know, the game has been decided, but those guys are still chasing people down and flying around and trying to make plays. And, you know, that's what you want out of those guys.
Yeah, that's what you want. You know, you want those kids to – you know, it's sad when you play your last game, but you know, you want to take advantage of those last few plays. You don't want to be sad before it's officially over. You know, you can always have a chance. You know, maybe you force a fumble, score a touchdown, and you make a great memory. You don't want to wallow in your sorrows before you've played your last play. You want to go out there and make it something to remember.
Well, and you always hate that last game of the season. There's always just a finality to everything on that last game, but I mentioned during the broadcast last night that the team had improved to the point that it would be cool if you could go back and play the Hopkins County Central game again, or Christian County, or even Murray or Crittenden. I mean, you don't know how those things are going to turn out, but you would like to have that chance, even though it doesn't work that way, but it would be kind of cool if you could do that.
Yeah, I really feel like those are games that, you know, the Murray and Crittenden games, I thought we played well, but they played well too. I don't know if those results would change. Maybe we would get a little closer, but those were two, especially defensively, we played really well in those games. I'd like to think we'd make a few more plays if we played them again, but the Hopkins Central and Christian County games, I really feel like our games we could have won, and but that's when we were, you know, we were dealing with a lot of adversity, and we were still trying to figure things out. And you know, that's why you can't wait. You can't wait until the end of the season to really get focused. You got to get focused early. You got to get in shape early because you don't want to let those games. Yeah, especially that Hopkins Central game, we let that game slip away from us at the end. I really think a lot of it was just due to our conditioning. We just weren't in good shape at that point. I thought we were after going through the two scrimmages. I thought we would be in shape better than them, but they just outlasted us a little bit at the end, and they had a couple drives at the end, and you know, we missed some opportunities to score early in that game, and you know, that's definitely a big regret on this season.
Well, Coach Jerry Claiborne always called it the if-and game, you know, if you did this and if you did that. But if you guys win that Hopkins County Central game, that takes so much pressure off the team because you've got that one win out there and you're not looking at that zero all season.
Yeah, especially, you know, going into that game, I really felt really confident about where we were as a football team, and you know, I knew Hopkins Central would be one of the weaker teams we played during the year. And you know, when you play that game and you know you should have won, and then you're looking at a row of opponents that you know are better than Hopkins Central, you know, you better, we, I know, I knew we better get, we were toughen up. We better get a lot tougher. And, you know, it took us a few weeks to figure that out. You know, we had some really tough blowouts in there, blowout losses with the kids. I felt like, especially when we got to fall break, I feel like the kids realized that, hey, we really better get tough, and it's not going to get any easier. So hopefully all these young kids that have experienced this have learned a lesson, and hopefully we will come out ready to go in that first game next year, and we'll set a different tone to start the season, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
We're talking with Kaawha County football coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley this morning on Saturday Morning Quarterback. We are at the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street, as always, on Saturday morning during the football season. We need to get to a timeout, but we'll come back and have more after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Entering its 10th year, the Planters Bank Season of Giving is a bank tradition that has a goal of bringing awareness to community organizations. This year, the focus is on local and area businesses. Gifts, experiences, and delicious meals will be spotlighted for each of the Planters Bank communities. Planters is sharing a little about the many wonderful small businesses in this area in hopes of bringing additional awareness and even new customers their way during this holiday season.
For 25 years, La Potosina Mexican Restaurant has been your choice for authentic Mexican food. They appreciate your business through the years. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. Pair your favorite meals with your favorite margarita. Enjoy dining in or call in for carryouts. Call 270-365-3848 to place your order. La Potosina Mexican Restaurant, with locations in Princeton and Marion. Be sure to follow them on Facebook. And thanks again for 25 great years.
Want faster, more reliable internet? Pennyrail Electric is proud to help power EnergyNet Fiber Internet Service. Stream your favorite shows, game with unlimited data, work from home, or power your home security with a reliable EnergyNet connection. EnergyNet has gig speed fiber internet packages starting at just $59.95 per month. And we offer local support. Check GoEnergyNet.com to see if EnergyNet Fiber Internet is available in your home.
At Caldwell Medical Center, our transitional care patients receive the same care as they would in a skilled nursing facility, including physical, occupational, respiratory, speech therapies, and more. Every situation is unique. We help our patients reach their personal goals for independent living, all delivered with the care and compassion our patients deserve, right here, close to home. For more information, visit CaldwellMedical.com.
At Johnson's Furniture and Appliances in Marion, Kentucky, you're treated like family, because to them, family is everything. Johnson's has the reputation of helping customers with brands you can count on, like GE Appliances. Shop their selection of GE Appliances with premium finishes and features that make household chores easier, giving you time to do what matters. Bring home the long-lasting quality of GE Appliances today. Trust Johnson's for furniture, bedding, and appliances, because you're like family, and family is everything.
What are we going to do? Doctor, will he be okay?
Unexpected happens. Goodwin Insurance Agency has you covered with auto, home, life, commercial, boat, and RV insurance. That way, when the unexpected happens...
Congratulations! It's a girl!
You're covered.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
It's Tess. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 9. We like playing games, but we love making winners.
Ah, look at you go, girl!
You did great, girl. You did wonderful.
You got it!
That is exciting.
Everything you need to know and a whole lot of fun. Start your day with us. Right. Weekday mornings, 6 to 9.
What station made you winner this morning?
WPKY.
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 WPKY in Princeton.
WPKY.
Go with the good old America. WPKY.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Kaawha County coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley with us this morning from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street. Tigers falling at Owensboro Catholic last night in the first round of the playoffs, and Coach McClung, going back to the coin toss last night. Well, first of all, I actually learned something last night from the officials. Did you know the white hat, when he's doing a coin toss, always faces the scoreboard?
I did not know that.
I did not either. I learned that last night, and I also heard you guys say on the way out, because, you know, spoiler alert, the referees usually ask ahead of time what your plans are, and if we had won the toss last night, you were going to take the football.
I was going to take the football. I felt like it was important for us to get some things going offensively right off the bat. So I wanted to take the football and give our offense a shot to start off the game and try to get a little momentum early. And we didn't win the toss, and they wanted the ball. So it didn't work out.
Yeah, you know, 90% of the time, everybody wants to defer, but you guys were all ready to have the football last night.
Yeah, well, you know, with the way our season's gone, we needed some early momentum, and I felt like putting our offense on the field, you know, we put up 41 points the week before, so I felt like we had some positive momentum with our offense, so I wanted to give them a shot, but didn't get it.
Caldwell County falling at Owensboro Catholic last night. The final there was 61-14. Checking some other scores. Crittenden County beat Todd County Central 24-20, so good news and bad news for Crittenden County. The good news is they're moving on. The bad news is they get to go to Owensboro Catholic next week.
It's a tough place to play. You know, they it's a nice little stadium. It's got trees all around. It's pretty looking, but, you know, they're a really good football team. And, you know, I think the score when they played the first time was 63-12 or something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty close for a half.
Pretty close to a half. You know, Crittenden made a couple big plays early. I think Owensboro Catholic turned the ball over once early, and you know those are things that we didn't get those early. We couldn't get anything going offensively. So it'll be a tough trip for them.
Jeff, things that set up really nicely for Owensboro Catholic, though, as that number one RPI team in the state. They just get to keep playing at home as long as they want to until they get to the championship match.
Yeah, that's a benefit of a tough schedule. When you have a tough schedule and you come out on top with the RPI, you're benefited from playing big teams. And, you know, they play a bunch of those local big schools and have had a lot of success with those guys. And, of course, they ran through their district without much trouble. So they get to play at home. And they do have a nice place to play. They share it with Kentucky Wesleyan. It's a nice field, and it's, you know, it is has a college football feel to it there on campus. So it's a pretty neat place to play, except for they're really good.
Yeah. Well, and I noticed last night when they came out, the announcer introduced them as the city county champions.
Oh, I guess so. I guess they get you. I guess if you beat Davies County, you get to be the county.
Apollo and Owensboro Senior.
And you beat Owensboro Senior to be the city champ.
Yeah. I think the Owensboro game was the only game they had that was close all year, really.
Yeah. I think Owensboro's usually got a lot of athletes, too. So
there were a couple of Thursday games, Murray over Fort Campbell, 29-15. That game was tied 15-15 going to the fourth quarter. Mayfield rolled over Edmondson County 68-0. No real surprise there. You know, Mayfield and Owensboro Catholic, I think that's the Western Kentucky matchup everybody wants to see. But because of the RPI, Coach McClung, I don't think we can see that game probably until the state championship.
Yeah, we were talking about that after the game last night. We think that's when they'll play. If they play, is in the state championship. I think the top four in 2A is those two teams in LCA and Beechwood. And I think, according to the RPI, I think Mayfield's second in the RPI.
Yeah, yes.
So I think they will probably play LCA or Beechwood in the semifinals, and OCAT will play the other one, and they'll have a chance to play in the finals.
Yeah, the good thing for the teams down this way, with those high RPIs, they get to host those games. So those other teams are going to have to make the trip to Western Kentucky to play.
Yeah, and it'll be close for us to drive and go watch. So yeah. That's good.
Checking some other scores, Glasgow beat McLean County 62-38. It was Hart County over Webster County 43-8. Union County beat Adair County 28-6. Paducah-Tillman big over Breckenridge County 70-0. Graves County beat Greenwood 22-7, and I was a little surprised by that score because Greenwood beat Union County last week and ended Union's long regular season winning streak, and Graves was able to get them.
I thought that would be an interesting matchup because, you know, Greenwood's a big, strong team, so, that, you know, they they probably had a little bit of advantage up front against Union County. So, you know, if they were able to contain the Johnson kid, I'm sure that's how they beat him. But Graves, you know, Graves is pretty big as well up front. So I knew it would come down to how good each team's skill kids are and coaching. And I think Graves is a pretty well coached team. So that was a, I'm not surprised by that. I think Graves has been playing really well this year. Greenwood's a solid foot. Greenwood's probably in the toughest 5A district in the state, but you know, Graves has played really well all season. So,
well, the RPI did not do Madisonville any favors. The Maroons had to go to South Warren last night and lost 50-12. You know, Madisonville got one of those three-way ties and ended up being kind of the odd team out and ended up with a really tough first-round matchup.
Well, you know, Madisonville they don't play a tough schedule. So, you know, that comeback, that came back and bit them. You know, they got a lot of talent. They got a lot of good kids. But, you know, when you don't play a very tough schedule and you get in a three-way tie, you know, we've been on the wrong end of that. We came in a three-way tie with Mayfield and Murray 1 year, and the RPI was super close and cost us a home playoff game. So, you know, that's why you have to go out and take chances and play people of higher class so you can use that RPI to gain a home playoff game.
Yeah, checking just a few more scores. It was Central Hardin big over Christian County, 60-0. McCracken County beat Barron County, 49-27. And Henderson County blanked Warren Central, 41-0. And, you know, mentioning the RPI, and like we said, Owensboro Catholic gets to play at home as long as it keeps winning until they had to go to the state championship game in Lexington. What are kind of your thoughts on the RPI? Are you a fan of that?
I am a fan of the RPI. I like it. You know, it's not perfect. I don't think any computer ranking system is perfect, but I think it's fair. You know, everybody knows what plays into it. You know, you play teams from larger classes and you beat them, it's going to give you an advantage. I think it encourages small schools to go out and take a chance to play a 4, 5, 6A school, and it discourages those big schools with good football programs from just playing a bunch of 1 and 2A schools, because if you do that, your RPI is not going to be good. So I think it helps with scheduling, encouraging people to play the people they should be playing, and I like it.
Yeah, do you guys think the RPI needs to be tweaked any?
I don't know. Probably. I mean, every computer ranking system needs to be, you know, you can make evaluations of it every year and adjustments every year to make it a little bit better. Obviously, it's not perfect, but I don't think it's not a bad system. I think it's pretty fair when you look at the teams, the 2A teams in our end of the state, in Mayfield and OCATH, and you look at who they played. I think it's fairly accurate on you know, which team played a tougher schedule. And, you know, if you go look at the RPI, the difference in the RPI is supposed to be the point differential when they played, mm-hmm. the teams play each other. And it's a lot of times it's fairly accurate, yeah. You know. So I think I don't think it's the perfect, but it's I don't think it's bad. I think just what we got right now. Yeah.
Jeff, does point differential need to play into the RPI? Because right now that is not a factor, but, you know, you don't want to encourage someone just to try to run up a score to have a better RPI, but should that be incorporated some way?
I don't think so. I don't like point differential just because of, you know, you get into situations like last night where, you know, we were playing a team that was clearly better than us, and, you know, they were encouraged to take their kids out and protect their kids instead of trying to get some extra points on the board to make a difference. So I've never been a fan of that. My opinion of the RPI is you just have to look at the state championship games over the last 3 or 4 years, and it's really made some really good matchups, and it's really made that event more fun. I mean, you don't want to go to a state championship game and see a running clock or a blowout, and you haven't got that the last few years, and you couldn't say that really every time before the RPI. So I like the matchups that it creates. I know it sometimes as coaches and scheduling, it kind of creates a little bit of a headache, but I think overall it's a good thing.
Well, another question that gets brought up quite a bit is four teams from each class or each district making the playoffs. Are you guys in favor of that, or would you like to see that tweaked a little bit? Because, you know, we were a 4 seed going to Owensboro Catholic, and I liked having that extra game. There's always another chance to play, another chance to make a play, but would you guys tweak the playoffs any?
I don't hate the system now, but I wouldn't be opposed to looking at some changes. I would like to see us go back to some bigger districts. I would like to see us going back to at least like, you know, 16 districts. I do think that, you know, we could have gone 0-10 this year and made the playoffs. And, I don't know if 0-10 teams should be making the playoffs. We could reduce it back to if we reduce back to four classes, you know, we could add a week to the regular season so that, you know, that gets everybody that extra game. And, you know, one thing as a head coach, you know, I'm sure Jeff would agree with me on this. If you had bigger districts, it makes scheduling a lot easier too. You know, we only have three district games and then we have to come up with the rest of our schedule. Yeah. You know, that can be a pain sometimes. So I wouldn't be against them going back to four classes. The biggest positive I like about the six classes is it kind of spreads out the blue bloods, the teams that are perennially good every year. It kind of spreads them out, and you'll see teams, since they've gone to six classes, you've seen some teams win state championships that have never won a state championship before. You know, I think that's really cool. You've seen some programs develop into blue blood type programs that are in the state championship showing up every year. You know, before we went to six classes, I never knew anything about Louisville Central. We went to six classes and they're showing up in the state championship every few years. And, you know, I think that's been a good thing. I think it's helped some programs, develop a tradition and a culture. So in that regards, I think 6A, six classes are good, but you know, I would be open to looking at some different ways to do it, to make it a better system.
Well, I think just one 4-seed across the state won last night. But I can remember a time, and it's going back a while, where the first district in Class 2A swept the second district. I remember Lone Oak went up and beat Owensboro Catholic that season, and it was a sweep for the first district. So I like the opportunity it affords, but then you look at another score like Mayfield beat Edmondson County 68-0. That's a long trip for Edmondson County to get beat like that. I mean, kudos to them for showing up and playing, but that seems like a long way to go for a game that's going to be a running clock. Before halftime, probably.
You know, every year you hear the people complaining about the blowouts in the games, but I mean, there's always been blowouts.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what. One thing about how the system is now is what's wrong with giving kids another opportunity to play a game? I can tell you right now, we were big underdogs, but my kids wanted to go play. Mm-hmm. My kids wanted to go play another football game. And, my kids believed that they could go up there and compete. You know, we went up there with a good attitude. So I don't know how that's a bad thing. You know, I know they blew us out, but, you know, we went up and played. You know, my kids got to play another game. So I don't see how that's a negative. Blowouts have always existed. It's just changed. The blowouts sometimes look worse on the scoreboard because teams are better offensively than they were 30 years ago. Because when I played, if you got beat 35-0, that was a gigantic blowout.
Yeah.
You know, so the blowouts have always existed. It's just, I don't know, that we, for some reason, we want to complain about it every year, and I don't get it. I like football. I like to see a lot of football games. And so when you play a lot of football games, some people are going to get blown out.
Hey, was it the 1917 Owensboro team that were beating people 120-0? Princeton was in one of those like 108-0 games, and I said last night on the broadcast that I think sometimes people get too bent out of shape over what the final score of the game is.
Well, sometimes people just always got to find something to complain about, Don.
But I do wish we could figure out a way, you know. I don't like some of the long trips teams have to take, but I'm not really sure how you get around that. I know one year Boone County went to McCracken County. You know, that's from Cincinnati to Paducah. That's a long way to go for a first-round matchup.
That is a long way to go, but, you know, you only do it once, you know, unless you – you know, if you're advancing the second, third round, you know, you want to take a long trip. It's part of the experience I don't know. It's probably the longest trip some of those kids will ever make for a football game. So I think that's kind of cool for them to get to experience that. And I don't know. I like football, Todd. I like to see a lot of football games.
Never too much football.
Never
right?
too much.
We're talking this morning with coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley here on Saturday Morning Quarterback from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery. We'll come back and have more with the coaches after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
As a bank that's been part of the Caldwell County communities for almost 140 years, we've seen many changes. As we celebrate First Southern's first 40 years as an organization, we know any achievements we have had are because of the customers we worked alongside. We affirm our commitment to the shared values that brought us here. We look forward to spending the next 40 years and beyond serving you. For more information, visit fsmb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Got a news tip, community event, info, or picture to share? Text us at 270-963-9038. 1580-103.3 WPKY.
Hi, this is Jim Lancaster with H&R AgriPower. For a limited time, take advantage of 0% financing for 84 months on new Case IH Farmall tractors. Now is the time to get a great deal on a new tractor that works as hard as you, Case IH Farmall. Whether you're mowing, baling, feeding, loading, you name it, we have the tractor for you. Stop by and see us at H&R AgriPower in Hopkinsville today and talk to our sales team about the limited time financing offer you don't want to miss.
While supplies last, customers must qualify for program with CNHI Capital.
Hi, this is Lauren Brandon, and I'm proud to have served in this community for 45 years. As a bank that's been part of the Princeton community for over 139 years, we've seen many changes. As we celebrate First Southern's first 40 years as an organization, we know any achievements we have had are because of the customers we have worked alongside. We look forward to spending the next 40 years and beyond serving you. For more information, visit fsmb.net, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Are you overwhelmed when it comes to marketing your business? This is Cindy Allen Lax with the Edge Media Group. And when I started my career 30 years ago, we sold radio. But we are so much more today. We have multiple radio stations and websites. Digital advertising. Well, it's a must for a business, but which direction to go in can be a real challenge. We can help you with that challenge. Let us put our team of experts to work for you. Contact us today at theedgemediagroup.net.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
We are back at the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street in Princeton, and we appreciate them hosting us for Saturday Morning Quarterback for the second straight season. Tiger coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley with us on the show, and we just continued talking about the playoffs and all those things. And Coach McClung, I'm not sure there's a perfect solution to any of these, but you know, it's good that everybody's always looking to try to make things better.
Yeah, I mean, I think they should constantly evaluate it, you know, constantly look at making things better, you know, whether it's six or four classes, I don't really care. I just want people to do what's best for kids. You know, you want to give kids the opportunity. You want to make sure that, you know, we're trying to keep people on a level playing field. So, you know, that's the KHSAA's job, and there's not a single answer to fix everything, but... You know, I'm just glad to get to be a part of it.
Well, and we've talked all season that we would all love to win every game and be undefeated, and not everybody gets to do that or has the opportunity very often to get there. You look at a 1-10 season for you guys, but you know, I enjoyed every week coming out and seeing how the team had improved and seeing if we could pull off an upset against somebody.
You know, I mean, I really feel like every week, the weeks we were big underdogs, you know, kids going into the games, they felt like that we had a chance to win every game we played. And, you know, that's what I want. You know, that's why I've stayed at Caldwell County. I came to Caldwell County, and it was my fourth school in 4 years. And when I came here, I was around a community and a school that I really felt like every game they went into, they felt like they could win. And I was like, this is what I want to be a part of. So, you know, I've stayed here, and I consider it a real honor to have been a part of the program and continue to build the program. And I feel like the future is bright. You know, we still got some growing to do, but I feel like that we're going to be an improved football team next year. And you know, I'm looking forward to a good off season. I'm looking forward to just kicking it off against Hopkins Central next year.
Well, and Jeff, to me, one of the greatest thing about sports is there's always opportunity. There's always that next play, that the next game. Forget what your record is or how you've been playing. the opportunity is there.
Yeah, and that's why that's what we were talking about. I like this. That's why I like the system as it is. I like more football is a good thing. I think if you want your kids to be involved in a positive thing, and that positive thing can last another week or two, and I think that's a good thing for kids. If I believe football is great for kids, and I believe football at Caldwell County is great for Caldwell County kids, so having those kids another week and getting to be around them another week and practice another week and have fun with those guys at practice another week, even though the game wasn't anywhere close to what we wanted, the extra week with the kids was worth it to me. So I think that's definitely a good thing.
Looking ahead to next season, Coach, the schedule's going to be the same.
Be the same schedule.
Yeah.
Start off with Hopkins Central and, Madisonville, Graves County, and, some of those teams are going to be quite a bit different. Some of them had a lot of seniors. Some of them return a lot of kids. So, they're not all going to be exactly the same as they were this year. We'll be have a lot of the same kids. Yeah. So I think that will be a year better, and hopefully we'll see some different results.
As you look down the road, though, at what point will you start working on that next two-year cycle of the schedule, and what are some things you'd like to do with the schedule?
Well, after next year, we're going to evaluate some of these larger schools, and look at replacing them on our schedule. We've taken into account travel and, some other things, what kind of kids they think they have coming up and how we compare to them. There's some local teams that are even, more local than some of the teams we play that we would like to play. We'd like to play Callaway and Marshall County and, those are some bigger schools, but I feel like those are some schools that are shorter travel. I think they bring good gates. So there's all kinds of factors we'll take into account. A big part of it is, I've tried to develop some relationships with some of the coaches around here. I think Webster County will play us if we can make that work out. And those are all larger class teams still. So, but they're a little closer than even some of the WKC teams we play now. So we won't get into that until after next season, but we'll definitely be reevaluating our schedule and seeing if we can work it out with some other people.
Jeff, the fall sports schedule now over for you guys, but basketball is right around the corner.
Basketball's right around the corner. Wrestling's right around the corner. Yeah. I think Coach Nichols is having some guys come down to the Butler Building Friday night. So, and they're going to get their wrestling season off with a little bit of a scrimmage there. I think Ohio County and one of the Clarksville schools are coming in. And then Saturday's the scrimmage with Crittenden County at the Fredonia Gym. And, I forgot the Havoc at the Hive.
Yeah.
And it's been a big hyped event. And hopefully we'll get some, we still have a few tickets at the high school that people want to come and get those. And, that'll be a fun event to get and to kind of kick off the winter sports schedule. And then it'll be the marathon will commence.
Yeah. Well, and junior pro football action still going on.
They've got a big
teams.
Day today. They're at the
they're at Webster.
Yeah, Webster County at the Jamboree, and they play later this afternoon. If they both teams are favored, they're the number one seeds, and if they win, they'll get a chance to play for the Jamboree Championship tomorrow. I know they've had a good season and had a lot of fun. Hopefully they'll keep doing that, and hopefully that'll inspire those kids to kind of keep playing as they advance into the system, and in a couple years we'll get to coach those kids too.
Well, I appreciate you guys coming in this morning and being on the show and coming in all season long. I know at times it can be a trying season, but like I said, I enjoyed the season, and we would all like to win more games. I mean, I don't think there's any team that ends a season short of a state championship that wouldn't say that, but it was a fun year.
Thanks,
guys. Yeah, can I say something about the couple seniors before we get off here?
Yes.
We didn't get the name. I want to make sure we get them all called. I know Coach McClung talked about a couple of them, but I like to thank Timmy Nichols for coming out, and Miguel Pena and Nick Rasciuti and Caden Riley and Preston Rogers and Lucas Rollins, and talked about Maurice and Cole and Camden, what kind of years they had, and especially thank Josie Schaefer. She's been manager for 4 years, and those behind the scenes stuff like that those kids do goes unsung. She's been a big help to me and to our program. So we want to thank all those kids for coming and giving their time. And we didn't get the wins we wanted to get, but those are all good kids, and they stuck it out and endured a little bit. And we want to wish them luck and thank them for the senior. And we want to thank the Biscuit Barn for hosting us and providing us with a place, a nice place to get and talk about, and good food and good atmosphere. So Thanks to everything and everybody's kind of made it work this time.
All right, good deal. Thanks for coming in.
All right, thank you.
Tiger coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley. As I said, we appreciate them coming in all season and being a part of Saturday Morning Quarterback. That's going to wrap up our season, Saturday Morning Quarterbacks from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for listening here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
You've been listening to the Saturday Morning Quarterback Show with your host, Todd Griffin. For high school sports news from across the area, go to your SportsEdge.com.
WPKY.